بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 30th of December in the year 2020 and alhamdulillah we moved on to the 24th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the illustrious companion the venerable chief of Al-Khazraj, Sayyidina Sa'ad ibn Ubadah, radiyallahu. So the next section is entitled, Sayyidina Sa'ad ibn Ubadah, radiyallahu's rage at the unbelieving Quraysh. Just like his recently martyred dear brother, Sayyidina Sa'ad ibn Mu'ad, radiyallahu. Sayyidina Sa'ad ibn Ubadah, radiyallahu's rage against the unbelieving Quraysh was also immense. So like I mentioned yesterday, Sa'ad ibn Mu'ad made the dua. Because if there's any more confrontation against the Quraysh, then please let me live. But if there is no more confrontation against them, then bless me with martyrdom. And his wound opened up and he was blessed with martyrdom. So that shows that he had that vehemence against them. So Sa'ad ibn Ubadah, he was the same. He also had that great vehemence against them. This was naturally due to all the harm and opposition they had given to our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his noble companions radiyallahu ta'ala, but also to his blessed self. I with their humiliating him upon his capture shortly after the second pledge of Aqaba. So going back, like I mentioned, when he gave the pledge, he was two who were caught by the unbelieving Quraysh and they roughed him up. Suhail ibn Amr in particular struck him, radiyallahu. Indeed, this could clearly be seen when our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had performed his missed Umrah just 1 year after the famous Treaty of Al-Hudaybiyah, during which he had married his last illustrious wife, Sayyida Maymuna, radiyallahu. So again, all these details, the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, it came about, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was intending to do Umrah, and the unbelieving Quraysh prevented it. And then eventually they signed a treaty in which they were told the Muslims come back next year. You can't do Umrah this year. And apparently that treaty favoured the unbelievers. But in reality, they had signed their own death warrant. So the next year they were making up the Umrah that they had missed. During that Umrah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married Maymuna. And this was the last of the mothers that he married. So this is recorded in Musa ibn Uqba, Ibn Kathir Sirah, volume 3, page 310 to 11 of the English translation. Imam Zuhri, he said, Rahmatullah alayh, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained in Makkah for 3 nights, at which point the period of safe access agreed upon at Al-Hudaybiyah ended. Thus, when the morning of the 4th day came, Sayyidina Suhail ibn Amr and Huwaytib ibn Abdul Uzza arrived, whilst Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was seated with his companions, conferring with Sa'ad ibn Ubadah radiyallahu. So, what's happening? So, they were in the treaty, they said that you can spend 3 days in Makkah, not a moment more, and you must leave. So when the 3 days had passed, the unbelieving Quraysh, they came and they appointed 2 men to speak on their behalf. One of them was Suhail. And don't forget, there was history between him and Sa'ad ibn Ubadah. And the other was Huwaytib ibn Abdul Uzza. Huwaytib thereupon said, now Huwaytib, let me just mention something about him. So why did the unbelieving Quraysh send these 2 men? You know, if you think about that, you think, why send these 2 men to tell the Muslims to leave? So Suhail ibn Amr, he was appointed because Sa'ad ibn Ubadah, to irritate him. Huwaytib was either the previous husband of Maymuna or her brother-in-law. So look how you know, devious they were. Because the Prophet had married Maymuna. So they'd send either her ex-husband or her brother-in-law to stir up kind of emotions. Huwaytib said, we now invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the pact to you. You have not left our land and the 3 nights are over. In other words, you said 3 days and you're still here. Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiyallahu, upon seeing Suhail in particular, in anger he roared, "You lie, may you have no mother. It is not your land nor that of your forefathers. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will not leave." So look how interesting. Who spoke? Who waited? Suhail wasn't speaking. But you get this impression that Sa'd was looking at Suhail, thinking, why is this shaitan here? And then when Huwaytib said, leave, you've only got 3 days, the 3 days are up. Sa'd responded and he said to both of them, he goes, this land is not yours, not your forefathers. And he goes, by Allah, the Prophet will never leave. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then called out to Suhail and Huwaytib and he said, I have arranged marriage with one of your women. It will thus not now harm you for me to stay until I consummate the marriage with her. We can then prepare food and you can also eat with us. Because this is the reason, you know, there is no harm. I've got married. We can eat. They replied, we insist upon invoking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the pact unless you leave us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then gave orders to Sayyidina Abu Rafi, his freed servant radiyallahu, and he announced the departure, I from Makkah. He then rode off and he halted in the valley of Sarif, where Sayyidina Maymuna also soon arrived radiyallahu. So if you look at this report, what do you notice? Sa'd ibn Ubadah, you can see that anger building up, and notice how the Prophet diffused the situation. Sa'd was saying, he's never going to leave. And you get this impression that the Prophet ignored Sa'd completely. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because he wanted his family to embrace Islam. He goes, look, I've got married to one of your women. He goes, this is a tradition. He goes, look, I'll do a walima, you can eat and we'll live in peace. He goes, no, go. So what happened? The Prophet left, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his wife then later joined him at the place called Sarif, which is a few miles outside of Makkah. Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiyallahu anhu's unabated anger at the unbelieving Quraysh was also shown to one and all upon our beloved messenger's entry into the holy city during the famous conquest of Makkah. So I'm taking glimpses into where his name is mentioned, where he's showing his anger to the unbelieving Quraysh. So there's one I mentioned just now. And just to add something about that, our beloved mother Sayyidina Maymuna radiyallahu anha, the marriage was consummated at Sarif. And what's amazing is, she passed away at Sarif. She passed away on the very spot where the marriage was consummated. And the scholars say that was her love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah gave her that honor that she passed away in the very spot the marriage was consummated. So, the conquest of Makkah again details, the Treaty of Hudaybiyah was broken. Who broke the Treaty of Hudaybiyah? It was the unbelieving Quraysh. Somebody who had sided with them had attacked somebody who had sided with the Prophet's side, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The treaty was broken. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is now heading towards Makkah. To cut a long narrative short, upon the Quraysh chieftain Abu Sufyan ibn Harb's embracing Islam, our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed his venerable uncle, Sayyidina Abbas radiyallahu, to make him observe the armies of Islam as they march by. So what was the wisdom in this? Abu Sufyan ibn Harb, he was the unbelieving Quraysh chieftain. He was the father-in-law of the Prophet as well, which is kind of strange. But when he realized that he cannot oppose the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the army was too huge, he embraced Islam. Abbas brought him in. There's a long narrative, you can ask me after. But when he officially embraced Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Abbas, who is his uncle radiyallahu, climb and make Abu Sufyan observe the armies of Islam heading towards Makkah. Make him see the armies. Now why did he request this from his uncle? Because he wanted to make sure Abu Sufyan realized the power of Islam. So this is the background. So what happened? Imam Shafi'i in his Tariq Medina Dimashq 23-454, Hafiz ibn Abd al-Barr in his Al-Istiyab 2-597, Hafiz al-Shawqani in his Nail al-Awtar 8-168, it mentions, whilst entering the holy city on the evening of the conquest of Makkah, Sa'ad ibn Ubadah, he cried out, Al-Yawma Yawmul Malhama, today is the day of slaughter. Later, Abu Sufyan radiallahu conveyed these words of Sa'ad ibn Ubadah to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon which he stood up and he changed one letter. He goes, La, al-yawma yawmul marhama. No, rather today is a day of mercy. So this is the beauty of the eloquence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In English, you've lost it. All you get is Sa'ad ibn Ubadah said, today is the day of slaughter. And you get the Prophet saying, today is the day of mercy. Any eloquence in that? Right? You missed everything. So why is Sa'ad ibn Ubadah saying that? The anger. So he goes, that's it. We've got him. We're entering the city. Slaughter. That's the words he said. Al-yawma yawmul malhama. So imagine the armies. So Abu Sufyan sees that. He goes, oh my God. Sa'ad ibn Ubadah. He goes, he's going to wipe us all out. So Abu Sufyan, he rushed to the Prophet. And he goes, Ya Rasulullah, Sa'ad ibn Ubadah. He's saying this. And look how beautiful. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La. No. Al-yawma yawmul marhama. No. Today is the day of mercy. So in Arabic, malhama means slaughter. Marhama means mercy. So notice the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't tell Sa'ad off. He understood where he's coming from. But he was diffusing him all the time, like Umar. When Umar would come, let me chop the munafiq's head off, and the Prophet would diffuse it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu. Sa'ad was like that for the Ansar. He goes, slaughter. And also was interesting. He actually saw Abu Sufyan. So this report explains. In Ibn Asakir, Kanz al-Umal, volume 5, page 295, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 1, page 303-4 of the New English Translation, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given his flag to Sa'ad ibn Ubadah, radiallahu anhu, who was at the head of the battalion. When Sa'ad passed by Abu Sufyan with the flag of Rasulullah, He saw Abu Sufyan, so imagine he looked up. Look how observant he was. And he cried out to Abu Sufyan, Al-yawma yawmul malhama. Today is the day of bloodshed. Today the sacredness of the haram shall be lifted. Today Allah Ta'ala shall disgrace the Quraysh. I.e. O Abu Sufyan. Then as Rasulullah approached, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alongside Abu Sufyan, Abu Sufyan called out, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have you commanded that your people be killed as Sa'ad and those with him seem to think as they have passed by us? Did you command this? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La, al-yawma yawmul marhama. No, today is the day of mercy. Then taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Abu Sufyan said, I now plead with you on behalf of your people, for you are the best of all people. So even though the Prophet told him nothing to worry about, Abu Sufyan says, I want you to do something, Ya Rasulullah, because you're the best of people. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf and Uthman ibn Affan then approached and they said, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we also fear that the Quraysh may suffer an attack from Sa'ad ibn Ubadah. So look how interesting. Abu Sufyan ibn Harb just recently embraced Islam. So he's putting his plea forward. Who's acknowledged his fear? Two of the Ten Promised Paradise. The son-in-law of the Prophet twice, Uthman dhul-Nurayn radiallahu anhu, and Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. Because we also fear Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said again, O Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, today is a day of mercy. On this day shall Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give honor to the Quraysh. Then look what he did. Very interesting. The hadith continues. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereupon sent a message that Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu anh, be relieved of holding the flag. And he assigned the task of bearing the flag to his son, Qais. Look how beautiful. The message was, you are no longer the standard bearer. Give it to your son, Qais. In this way, he intended that the flag would really not leave the hands of Sa'd when it went to his son, so he would feel no offense. However, Sa'd refused to surrender the flag until he received a direct signal from Rasulullah. So imagine, they came to him, he goes, look, you know, give your flag to this son, no chance, because I want to see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Consequently, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent his turban to Sa'd, by which he then acknowledged, humbled himself, and handed the flag over to his son, Qais. So look how beautiful the whole scenario. He wanted blood. Because nobody can stop me from shedding blood after what they've done to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the companions, and Islam. Or so they thought. And the Prophet is refusing it. But look at the beautiful way he's doing it. First he goes, give your flag to your son. So obviously, he's thinking maybe somebody is misunderstood. He goes, no, I want to direct something direct to prove that he definitely said that. And then the blessed turban, imagine. And look how humble he became. As soon as he saw the blessed turban, he gave his flag to his son Qais ibn Sa'd radiallahu anhu. But in a slightly different report, our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sa'd did not speak the truth. Indeed, today is the day when the Kaaba's dignity will be restored. The day when the Kaaba will be given a new cloth covering. This is in Fath al-Bari 16-777 with a Sahih chain of transmission. So look how beautiful. The Prophet ﷺ had to negate his statement because people were hearing it. So if you hear the statement from a Sahaba, it carries tremendous weight. So they're hearing rumors, we're going to slaughter. And it's a true rumor because Sa'd said it. So the Prophet had to negate it because Sa'd has not spoken the truth. And then look how beautiful. He goes, the Kaaba's dignity is going to be restored, meaning the idol's days are numbered. And then he said, and the day when the Kaaba will be given a new cloth covering. This is a sunnah. On special holy days, they changed the cloth covering on the holy Kaaba. So where did that tradition start from? From the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Makkah was opened, they changed the covering. Very symbolic. And similarly, in Ibn Asakir, Musa ibn Uqba ibn Kathir, Sirah, volume 3, page 400 of the English translation. Jabir ibn Abdullah, he relates, radiallahu anhu, that one of the mothers of the believers herself had an apprehension and she recited in verse. So again, you have to pardon me, this is the English, but this is what our mother recited, radiallahu anhu. O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of the right guidance, the tribe of Quraysh took refuge in you, and it was too late. Sa'd wants to deliver a mortal blow to the people of Al-Hajun and Al-Batha, the Khazraji. He would in his rage set vultures and dogs upon us. Stop him, for he is the dark lion and a lion thirsts for blood. If he were to involve the banner which he is now holding and were merely to call out, O defenders of this flag, O people of the flag, then the Quraysh would be soon there in the valley bottom in the hands of female slaves. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard these verses, feelings of mercy and compassion for them entered, and he asked for the banner, taking it from Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu anhu. It was then given to his son, Qais ibn Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu anhu. So let's look at this. So one of our mothers, she was versifying it. And when you versify, it adds to the majesty. And what was her poem all about, or her poetry? Sa'd. So if you look at the wording, even in English, she was very respectful. She called him a dark lion, thirsty for blood, meaning he wants blood. And what's interesting, lions don't just kill for the fun. They kill when they need to kill. So that's a phrase of Sa'd. Very eloquent the way she was describing it. Other animals just kill for the sake of it. But they've now seeing that lions only kill when they need to kill. So she called him, meaning he's doing it for a reason. He's not just going, you know, losing his mind. And then she said, if he just calls out with that flag, basically all hell's going to break loose. And then when the Prophet heard this, compassion obviously entered his heart again. So all of this was happening around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he gave a message that Sa'd, the flag should be taken out of his hands. Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiyallahu, the mountain of a man that he was, after calming, he now became worried. Thus he humbly thereafter requested our beloved messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to now also take the flag from his noble son. He didn't trust his son. Why? For he was afraid that he too might make a mistake. Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullah alayh, in his Mukhtasar Zawaid al-Bazar, page 248, states Sahih, and Fath al-Bani 16-177 states Sahih to the criteria of Bukhari. It mentions the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then took the flag from case. So look how amazing. He wouldn't get rid of the flag. He got no chance. When he saw that blessed turban, he reluctantly gave the flag to his son. Well, you can see that change now. As soon as he's calmed, he's thinking, my son's just like me. So he then sends another message. He goes, Ya Rasulullah, I don't trust my son. Look how, you know, which father would say that about his son? And then the Prophet ﷺ then took the flag out of Qais's hand, radiyallahu. And this also shows that when you're angry, you don't think straight. That proved it, right? Sa'd ibn Ubadah immediately is now, you know, registering what's happening. He's my son. So the flag was taken. Who it was given to, I don't know after that. So what have I highlighted today? I've highlighted his great anger towards the unbelieving Quraysh. And what did I mention yesterday? How did our beloved mother Sayyida Aisha describe the companions amongst themselves? Ruhama'u bainakum. In Surah Al-Fath, they are compassionate amongst themselves. But what does the Quran then say? They are hard against the unbelievers. So look how beautiful. When Abu Bakr and Umar were weeping, when Sa'd ibn Mu'ad was on the verge of passing away, radiyallahu anhu, praise, compassion. But now the flip side, look at the hatred he's got. And that's why, because anybody who's harming the deen, who you know has caused harm to the deen, we don't show kindness. Right? People get confused over this. Because aren't we supposed to show humility, kindness to your enemies? So if anybody's an enemy to Islam, you don't show any humility and kindness. You show harshness. But if they are non-Muslims who do not have any animosity towards Islam, then we show kindness and good character. So here is an example of Sa'd. Was he showing any mercy to the unbelievers? Did the Prophet say, out of order? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he understood where he was coming from. But he did not want bloodshed. He wanted mercy because this was the holy city that was going to open up. And note Sa'd ibn Ubadah, the other thing we can take is how close he was to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the mist Umrah, he was sitting right next to the Prophet. Think about that. How many people were, companions were doing Umrah with the Prophet? 1,400 plus. He was sitting right next to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also now, he had the standard of the Prophet. So you also learn that he was very dear and near and beloved to our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But also notice how beautiful the Prophet would cater for people's character. Right? He didn't, you know, he knew that he had that harshness in him. But he would diffuse the situation, you know, in the best of ways and manners that Allah alayhi wa sallam. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي حمدي سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات واصبر الحق واصبر الصبر